Be glad we serve a God that's bigger than our storms.
Yes.
Yeah, storms. We're going to talk about storms this morning. A God who is far, far greater than any storm we might face. We talk about storms, not just focus on like physical storms, but really life circumstances, challenges, difficulties that we can go through as individuals, as couples, as families, as church family. That seems like, what is going on? But remember, God, you're still greater, right? You're still king. I love that song that we're talking about, that Jesus is king. That is Jesus, he is still king, and he is alive, and he is well. There's three different areas of storms I was thinking of when I was prepping for this morning. There are storms we create, storms that are a surprise, and storms that are predicted. I'm not going to mention too much on this, but sometimes we can create our own storms, right? If you have to be honest. Maybe big, maybe little. Here's two quick examples from my own life. When I was doing my undergraduate in college, every semester I created my own storm. You know what it was? I waited all semester to work on my final papers until like the last 2 days. So I'd be freaking out with anxiety, worry, just having like, God, why have you brought me here? Who has done this to me? The professors have loaded me up for finals week. But then I look at my friend Jen. Jen would start all her papers for the last week for finals, the first week of the semester. She was so peaceful. She was so calm. She's going off to Buffalo Wild Wings out in Rochester. I'm pulling all-nighter after all-nighter. And I just kind of created storms. A lot of times I like to blame other people at the end of the day. I'm like, I just wasn't planning well. Or let's take like I have to get like too close to things, but health-related stuff. If you know me well, you know that I really shouldn't eat gluten because I'm a millennial, right? That's a good thing. No, that's not the reason why. Yeah, I don't have celiac. I know some of you have celiac, and I can relate, but I can't relate to the folks that. But it really upsets my stomach, to be honest. So if I have gluten one day, I can live the dream for that moment. Sometimes I tell Crystal, I'm healed from gluten intolerance, right? You know, the next day my stomach's like, you know, hurting really bad. And sometimes I can blame, you know, the pizza or the bread or whatever, but then I gotta realize, you know, Jim, you're not having self-control. Like, sometimes we can create our own storms. I'm sure you have examples of your own life, because you have to be honest, like, you're actually contributing to your problem, whether it's having incredible stress when it comes to finals, or maybe it's with a health issue or something. But sometimes there's storms that hit us that are a complete surprise. Like, you didn't have anything to do with creating the storm that's gonna hit you, or maybe you're in one right now, and it's out of nowhere. I remember when I was younger, my older brother Pete, when he was 20 years old, was diagnosed with cancer as a 20-year-old. That was a storm that just hit out of nowhere. It's not like there was a pre-plan for that, like you get an agenda of your life. And by the way, you know, most people get hit with cancer later on in life. They're going to be hit really young. And that was a storm. That was a surprise. But I'm thankful that God is still bigger than those storms. Amen, church? Right? My brother, he is well. He conquered cancer through the grace and power and miracle healing of Jesus. And God can win over storms. So maybe it's a health issue. Something that's a complete surprise. Maybe it's a relational issue, financial burden. Maybe you're struggling in business or in school. And it's just out of nowhere. It's like I was contributing to this storm happening. I did not realize this storm was going to come. And it gets you by surprise. The neat thing about God is it might get you and I by surprise, but it does not surprise God. Are you with me? Yeah. There's no storm that surprises God. So if you're one like, God, this is a complete surprise. It is hitting hard. The wind's howling. And what's going to happen? I'm not sure. Just realize this is not catch God by surprise at all. He's still king. He's still Lord over that storm. The last one I want to talk about in just a moment is storms that are predicted. So these are ones that are coming, but you know ahead of time. I think a meteorologist and weather forecast, they try to do this a lot, right? Yeah, there's a storm coming, the snow's gonna hit, and then it's a sunny day, and you're like, oh man, plan that one wrong. Well, sometimes you're right on, you're like, yeah, that was exactly it. And there's some accuracy, but sometimes, especially if you look in the Bible, there's difficult challenges that are actually predicted to come. It's actually something you almost wanna gear up and be ready for, and God is Lord over those storms. So the text we'll be looking at this morning is in Matthew chapter 7. If you have a Bible, feel free to open it. We'll also, I believe, have it on the screen right over here. Awesome. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 29. And this is Jesus speaking. We'll be looking at a couple things from here this morning. Matthew 7, 21 to 29. Jesus said this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worthless workers of lawlessness. And then in a moment, we're going to look at it. Let's stay here for a moment. So I want to look at this one part. So Jesus is talking to those who are following and essentially giving Jesus lip service that, look, we're calling you the right thing. We're calling you Lord. We're calling you Lord. We're even talking about things we can do that are amazing. I mean, these are pretty amazing, right? Prophecy, cast out demons, mighty works in your name. And Jesus is getting hit it on right there that lip service does not get you into the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Just saying, Lord, Lord, and saying these things without a life that is dedicated to following Jesus daily through practical obedience is not one that Jesus is saying this will have. And in the NIV, I think I will go back one more. The NIV, it talks about workers of evil, that last word right there, lawlessness. This idea that, God, if I can just give you lip service, it's going to be okay. Like when I go to heaven and all of us one day, the Bible says we'll be judged, really be judged according to our wicked deeds or sin, or according to rewards of faith if it's in Jesus. So everyone's going to be there one day. And for those categories, I'm kind of like, it's more like a lip service that will not get you in there. I hope you and me that we want to be able to hear God say to us when we're at that day, that all of us will be there. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Yes. Right? Yes. You are welcome. You are not lawless or evil doer. You're welcome in. You're part of the family because of your faith in Jesus and his work on the cross. You're part of the kingdom. Come on into eternity. I've been waiting for you. That's God's heartbeat for every single person on the planet. Amen? Every single person on the planet, including you. If you don't know Jesus, know that Jesus loves you so much more than you could ever realize. But if we decide, because God does not control us like robots, that we want to do our own game, we want to play our own life and live it our own way, and kind of give maybe Jesus lip service or none at all, realize that there's a destiny in eternity that is not with God, that is apart from God, and that breaks God's heart. But only way into heaven is through what Jesus has done on the cross. It is a free gift. So when it comes down to the Lord, do I truly know you? And maybe you've been coming to church for a while, or you've been a part of small groups. I'll encourage you. Do you truly know Jesus Christ in a personal way as your Lord and Savior? Or is it more like a religious routine on your calendar? Because just attending something or knowing something does not equate to having a personal relationship with Jesus. And know that you can start that today. So let's keep moving on to the next portion on here. So then Jesus continues. He says, everyone then, and here's his example he gives on lip service or actually doing it. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was that fall, or great was the fall of it. So here's a really well-known, I think if you grew up in the church at all, or went to Sunday school, you would know this one, the wise and foolish builder. If you're new to learning about Christianity and the Bible, so glad that you're here. But here's an illustration of both hearing God's word, but one who put it into practice. One who put that into a lifestyle of surrender to Jesus. The other one heard the word of God, knew the word of God, maybe even could teach the word of God, but did not live a life according to the word of God. Are you with me? Yeah? And it shows here that both of these, in this illustration, or this parable, this story, both of them built a house. And both of them got hit by a storm. Sometimes we can get this idea, and I used to believe this when I was younger, that if you follow Jesus, all the storms will avoid you, right? You just, everything's going to get better. You're going to get healthier, wealthier, wiser, and richer, right? It's just like, that's it. That's like the complete opposite of what the Bible actually shows. You will be blessed beyond measure with a relationship with Jesus. You will have every spiritual blessing in Christ. You will have eternity in heaven. But if you look at any of the biblical characters, their life all got harder. They did not get actually easier on this side of eternity. So if you're looking for a Christianity, it's like my life is just going to get easier all the time. That's not what Jesus said. He did not say the storms necessarily would get easier, but he did promise to make you stronger through the storms, stronger in Christ. So if you're looking for an easy way out of a storm, that's really not really a solution that God provides. But he does promise to be with you in the storm, and that you can weather the storm in a way that you look more like Jesus on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
You look more like Jesus on the other side. So it comes, and you see the three things. You get the wind howling, you get the rain falling, you get the water coming up, the streams coming up. And as the storms hit, it's the wise builder who's been practicing obedience to Christ in a response to faith. So once again, it's not like you work your way to heaven. It's because the person knows Christ is responding accordingly to God's word. They're able to weather the storms of life. But the one who hears the word of God, has a lot of knowledge about God, if not applied, will not survive storms that come in this life. Or ultimately, I think the storm, which this passage really points to, is at the end of life, the day of judgment that will come. On that day, will I be able to stand, and will Christ know me and welcome me in? Or will he say, I never knew you, depart from me? I can't imagine the pain of those words for those who receive those kinds of words. But I want to think about your own life. What does it look like in my own life? Maybe you're going in a storm for following Jesus. Am I a fair weather Christian? Meaning I will follow Jesus when life is easy, right? Or am I the real deal? I know God's the real deal, but am I responding to him as if he truly is alive and his word is true? It's not about how much you know, but how much you're applying with what you know. Jesus invited his followers before he left the planet to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he says, I am with you to the very end of the ages. Teaching them to obey. So many times I can fall into this. We fall into this trap of teaching to know. We just want to know a little bit. We read the Bible to know more. And it's great. You should know knowledge. Know more about God. Or you read a book about the Bible to know more about it. But the question isn't how much are you knowing, but how much are you actually applying and living in a way that honors God. I had a really good friend growing up who knew so much about Scripture. It was insane. Like the original languages, if you're not familiar with the Bible, were written in Greek and Hebrew, a little Aramaic. Well, he knew Greek and he knew Hebrew. We were really close friends. He did his quiet times in the morning in Greek and Hebrew. I was doing it in English, so obviously I felt terrible about myself. Right? He was like, do it in English. I'm like, oh yeah, but Greek. Well, obviously, if I go on Blue Letter Bible, I can look that up too. But he just knew it. I was so blown away. Had like the prayer room closet thing. He thought it was kind of weird, but then I thought it was really cool. Had Scripture everywhere, just praying all the time, sharing Jesus, all these kind of things. Amazing, amazing. Then my friend got hit with a huge storm one day. A friend died for no apparent reason. The heart just stopped real young down at Nyack, and it blew him away. And I remember being just so devastated when I saw my friend started forming his theology by his emotions versus telling his emotions who his God was. Are you with me? It was a small switch. Small switch. He was in grief, he was in loss, and he was despair. And I saw over months and then years and years, just it was a small change. His emotions of pain, of couldn't understanding why this happened, and no one could understand why it happened. There's some things in life that you just really can't explain. They give a simple answer to such a complex problem of grief, just want to do it. And my friend just got farther and farther and farther and farther away from Jesus because he kept informing his theology. He kept informing the Word of God through his emotions, where in that opportunity, it would have been a great time to actually inform his emotions that God is still real. God is still on the throne. God is still with me through the mystery, right? We sang that this morning. God is still with me through the unbelief. God, I'm struggling with these questions. I don't get why someone might die so quickly. Or maybe you've been looking at the news and there's a young girl who died recently in a car accident. You're like, why did that happen? Why couldn't the truck have just came later or whatever, right? There's not easy answers to a lot of Earth's problems. But are we going to struggle in a way and pray for those who are suffering, but struggle for a way that, God, I'm still going to push closer to Jesus. God, I want you to inform my emotions, who you are. God, I want you to inform my circumstances who you are. God, I want to declare to the storm that God is king. Amen? That I'm going to raise a hallelujah whether everyone around me is saying, give up and go home. I'm going to say, God, you are still on the throne. You are still alive. I'm going to sing. God, if they take everything from me, maybe like the Old Testament character or Job, God, I'm still not going to give up on you because I know who you are. And God, I know that you are good. Amen?
Yes.
So many times we can let the storms influence our relationship with Jesus, but let our relationship with Jesus influence our storms. Let us tell the storms who our God is and who He is with. So sometimes we get these surprises of these storms that like come in and they can hammer us. If we're not careful, they can cripple us if we don't fall on Christ. Any other foundation apart from Jesus will not last. Let's talk about storms that are predicted for a moment. I'm going to switch to a different gospel, the Gospel of Mark. I won't have it up here, but you can look there if you have a phone or a Bible. Mark 14, 32 to 42. I want to look at Jesus, because Jesus actually, he went through, I would say, the most difficult storms you could ever face in life, the most greatest challenges you could ever face was that. The God-man, fully God and fully man. And he struggles. And I find such encouragement knowing that God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, struggled. Are you with me? He struggled. It was just like, he could have done this. Go to the cross, die for everyone, take the wrath of God on yourself, die, be raised again. No problem. But you actually see him struggling. And you're going to see that when he's praying and inviting some close friends to pray with him. The pain of just struggling with God. This is so difficult. The storm that is predicted ahead of time and prophesied about me fulfilling is so difficult. We just see him wrestling with that. So let's look at Mark chapter 14. And then we'll go to, I think I said 32. Yep, to 42. And then they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John. And it began to be greatly distressed and troubled. This is Jesus. Greatly distressed and troubled. Have you ever been greatly distressed and troubled? Maybe currently you are greatly distressed and troubled. You know that Christ, our Savior, can relate. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. I've never heard anyone say this before, having this kind of sorrow. But this is what Jesus says. My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground. Hope you're visualizing this, but this is Jesus. He fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He's talking about the hour when he's going to go to the cross. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Invitation. God, if there's another way we can do this, God, remove this from me. Yet not what I will, but what does it say? But what you will. And that's the model that Jesus prayed for us. How should we be praying in the storms we're in, right? There's nothing wrong to be real with God. God, I do not want to be in the storm any longer. God, I want to be out of this. Or if you know something's coming, God, I don't want to go through that. I know all things are possible with God. You made that clear. You are the miracle worker, heaven shaker, earth creator, star speaker. That is who you are. And at the end of the day, not my will, but yours be done. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if I fully can't comprehend it, even if it's going to cause pain and difficulty, God, I have reckoned with heaven that I will go through whatever you bring on earth, because I know it will bring glory to you. It says, and he came, but what you will. In verse 37, it says, and he came and found them sleeping. This is his closest friends on earth that he spent a lot of intimate moments with. He found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Jesus is having the hardest time, like in prayer, right before he's about to be betrayed. And his close friends, they're falling asleep as he's inviting them to pray. He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping. Imagine what Jesus must be going through right now, right? One of the hardest moments. And he's inviting his friends to be with him. And He's all alone. And sometimes that's the way life goes, right? You're inviting friends who love you and stuff, but you just feel like, God, am I in this storm alone? Am I in here? And he wasn't technically alone, because obviously he has the Father, the Heavenly Father. But as far as friends nearby him, he was practically alone in this hour of pain, sorrow, unto death. But he continued to go to prayer. He said, again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words he mentioned before. And again, he found them sleeping. He found their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. This is how our Lord and Jesus dealt with storms that were predicted. He knew he would have to walk through something incredibly difficult. He knew that one of his close disciples, who he invited to follow him, would be the one to betray him. And if you want to read this passage later today, in Matthew 43, you'll see that his friend comes and betrays him with a kiss to signify which person is supposed to be the one to be taken in by the guards. Jesus knows pain. Jesus knows sorrow. Jesus knows loneliness. Jesus knows storms. Jesus knows what it's like to wrestle through things, but to wrestle in a way that leans into the will of God versus leaning away. Are you with me? Right? So if you're in a storm right now, or you're about to be in a storm, maybe you can see things brewing up on the spiritual radar, so to speak, I encourage you, press into God. Let that be a reason to draw closer to Jesus. May your worship time increase, not decrease. Our tendency when storms hit is, Lord, I'm just going to pull away. I'm going to maybe praise time, prayer time, scripture time, fellowship time, fasting time, spiritual. I'm just going to kind of let those slide because things are getting difficult. I would encourage you, press in even more. Press in to Jesus who loves you. Press in him in worship. Press in him in prayer. Press in to know him. Read the Gospels. See what Jesus does when he encounters difficulty. Press on in. Do not let the storm be a reason why you do not want to keep following after your Lord and Savior, but maybe a reason why you draw closer to him, because he knows what pain looks like and he knows what sorrow looks like. I want to invite up the musicians at this time. We'll be wrapping up. Just some thoughts I just want to leave you with. If you're in a storm, I hope you're encouraged. Know that God, he is far above the storm. If you've been following Christ for a little while, look backwards. They always say this in the Old Testament. Oftentimes they went to one specific Old Testament miraculous moment where God saved all the Israelites out of Egypt and brought them out through the Exodus, brought them across the Red Sea. And when they were in difficulty, they often would start singing songs about that. Or they would start remembering about that. Is there a moment in your life, for those who have been following Christ for a while, where you've seen God's victory in the past? That maybe the storm you have not seen currently God's victory, but you're going to hold on to faith that you've seen in the past. God, if you did it there, you can do it again. Amen? Right? If you did it there before, this is new. Maybe you've gone through the financial challenge, and now you're in the health challenge or whatever. I see you provide, but now we're in this one. This is unknown. But God, this isn't unknown to you. I'm gonna go there. I encourage you, invite friends around you who really love Jesus to support you, to encourage you, to love you. Jesus made it so simple when it came to commands. It talks about practicing obedience. Like, love God with everything you have and then love other people. Essentially, that's like the summary version. May your love increase. May our love increase through whatever storms we have for Jesus and for others, amen? May it just overflow. God, maybe not let circumstances be a reason why we will stop loving you or stop loving others. If anything, let's be like Paul and Silas. When they were locked in jail for preaching Jesus, they started singing jailhouse songs at midnight. Let's start singing songs and raising hallelujahs in the middle of our storms.
Amen.
What would it look like this week to put God's will first in your life, regardless of circumstances? Because a lot of times we let circumstances be the reason why we don't want to follow Jesus somewhere. It's too difficult, it's too hard, it's too painful, I feel lonely, I feel lost. Jesus had all of that. Wrestle with that, give that to God. But then when he can get some clarity, like the eye of the storm, Lord, what do you want me to do in this storm then? Like, what I should be doing? Like, ask God. And I want to ask also, what are you building your life upon? Is it fully upon Jesus? Is it fully upon applying His Word in your life? Or is it something else? Anything else will not survive the storms of life, nor the last storm, nor the day of judgment. None of them. And you can't mix building material with Jesus. You ever try to do that? It's like, Jesus, you and money. Jesus, you a career. Jesus, you and a meaningful relationship. Jesus, you. You can't mix them. You have to be willing to let every other thing go and just hold on to Jesus. You know what the neat thing is? Like, Jesus, if you give up everything in your heart, God, I will give you everything. I will give you my friends, maybe spouse, family, influence, money, reputation, everything. There's a freedom that comes from there. Because once you're willing to give up everything, then you receive everything that God has for you. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. There's no more real stress or pressure. Because you're like, God, even my life is yours. You want my life? Take my life. Glorify. You have brothers and sisters all around the world that say, God, if I'm in a place where my life is in question, I will give my life for you. I'll be martyred for the kingdom. When you come to that place, there's a peace of just kind of, God, that's exactly what Jesus did. He went right to the cross. He gave up reputation. He also had pain and torture and death. But when he just surrendered that all to the Lord in prayer, it's like, you can't take anything from me now, right? We don't face wind and rain and rising storms. We face the devil or sin and this world culture that doesn't reflect God. But know that Jesus is greater than every single one of those. Amen? He's defeated along the cross. I'd like to pray. Then let's raise a hallelujah to Jesus. God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are greater than any storm we are in, have been in, or will face. God, I pray that our roots would go deep, deep in the love of Jesus, and then go wide, wide in the love of Jesus, God, that we would love you in a way that would be even more profound because you'd be working through us. God, I pray that if there's anything in our life that's not aligned with you, building materials we're trying to mix in that don't glorify you, God, would we just own those and give those to you and ask for forgiveness? God, may we build on the pure name of Jesus and your word and nothing else. God, we want to be able to be in front of you at that day and be able to hear from you. You are welcome. You can enter in, good and faithful servant, God. Help us to live those days now so we can receive those answers later when we get to be with you. God, may you be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen.